Hey guys, this is Ryan with Escape to the Magic Podcast. Before we get going with this week's episode, we want to take a moment to really express our heartfelt empathy for everyone affected by Hurricane Helene. You know, we've talked about this on the show before. Randy, Dak, myself, we live here in Houston. We are 30 minutes from the coast, and we've been through multiple hurricanes. We understand and we get the fear and the uncertainty that come with massive flooding, that come with loss of power, that come with damage to homes and to our communities. You know, from the very beginning of this podcast, we have aimed to create a little escape from the challenges that life throws our way. Today is no different. And we know that there are many out there, literally millions of people out there that are going through some very challenging times right now. And we hope that you can find some joy, that you can find some comfort in however which way you can. From behalf of all of us here on the show, Randy, Dak, myself, we send you our thoughts and our prayers, and all those affected will have a very, very speedy recovery.
Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure you seat belts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And this week we're going to play a little game led by Ryan. Are you in or are you out?
Well, calling it a game is...
No, it's a game.
It's a, okay. This is... Maybe we need to define the parameters of a game. But okay, Randy's calling it a game.
It's a game.
We're calling this a game.
Game shows.
So what I have here, I've got six or seven different scenarios that have been playing out recently in the news, things that have been announced by Disney, things that have actually are in place, currently happening at Disney, and wanted to kind of get you guys' opinions on, are you in with this or are you out with this?
Okay, how do I win?
You win just by being here, Randy. We all win just by being
all
here.
Right. All
Our
right.
Our listeners win by getting to listen to us.
All right.
Maybe not so much me.
Participation ribbon at the door.
Yes, yes. Are we just going to jump right into it?
Why not?
Okay. All right. Sorry.
I don't know. You got something else you want to do?
Start here. Let me pull this up real fast. So starting out, just hot out of the gates. All right.
Here we go.
The gates have dropped and the horses are off to the races. So what...
You want to know what I think about every time? See, I've already distracted us, but I was thinking about this during one of our previous episodes. But how great are the jammeters at Epcot?
Ooh, I'm all in.
You know, the rope drop show, the jammeters put together at Epcot makes me want to be there early for rope drop. Yeah. Right? I don't want to be at a rope drop at any other park trying to squeeze through those people. Man, if I can get that entertainment that I get with those dudes banging on trash cans, heck yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. It's one of those where they can get you, right? You can be all, okay, we're locked in, we're dialed in, we're running straight to, you know, Remy's or whatever, and then they start jamming away, and you're like, well, hey, hang on, let's watch this
see
a little bit.
What's going to happen next? What are they doing with those metal trash can lids, right? Yeah. Sorry, that was a huge... distraction there, maybe strategic, but but I was just thinking about that. You know, we've never really talked a whole lot about those fellas, and that's a little bit of that magic that sometimes you don't get to see. Why do I call it that? I mean, look, we all grew up banging on pots and pans, right?
Trying to make
noise and put music together, out of whatever we think. And, you know, these guys beat the crap out of trash cans in a drumline fashion that, in my opinion, is unparalleled anywhere. I would take the jammeter drumline over any other drumline any day of the week.
So what you're saying is that you are in... on the jammeters.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in. It was not part of our game, but not a game.
No, that's right. All right, guys, I'm going to throw you guys a softball down the middle with this one. Right? Okay. What has been the restaurant that we have spoken most harshly about on this podcast?
Most harshly about? Yes. Oh, it's Pecos Bill.
There you go. Without a doubt. Well,
I didn't even have to hesitate to come up with that answer.
I knew you wouldn't. Well, you've heard that they have a new menu.
I have not heard this.
Jack has not heard this.
I'm out.
No, without even hearing it.
Next no, I have heard this, but my disdain for Pecos Bill, goes maybe a little bit beyond the menu. Just because I just don't have any confidence. I don't care what your menu is. Yes.
We are not alone. Pecos Bill has, throughout the Disney circles, is very much maligned.
Which is incredible because it is never not packed.
Because there's lots of options. Well, here, just real fast. So I did some research, watched a couple of video reviews, and I wanted to know your opinion. So they have revamped their entire menu, right?
I'm pulling up the menu right now.
I'm pulling it. They've gotten rid of the fajitas.
Those weren't fajitas. Yeah.
So here's what they have. Here's what they have. They have kind of a create your own. Why are you shaking your head?
Oh, this is a recipe for success.
What? So
So they have a couple of entrees. So we'll start. So they have a double chili con queso burger, right? They have a grilled masa flatbread, grilled corn flatbread topped with sweet potatoes, stewed pinto beans, and plant-based pepper jack cheese, shredded lettuce, pico de gallo, and lime crema. Now, the video review, I saw this. Both of these guys they said this was the best thing on the menu. But, yeah, they have these create-your-own kind of bowls now. They have a nacho bowl, a Southwest Caesar salad, a rice bowl, and then a steamed tamale. And the reviews that I'm seeing is that this is a much, much better menu.
Listen.
Dex, not even
here we
give
go.
It a shot here.
I grew up in the back country of Idaho, and we used to have a saying, can't put lipstick on a pig.
Oh, you can, but that's stupid.
I don't know. I just, like, until you do a total overhaul and revamp that entire restaurant, changing a few menu items, it's just, the quality of food there is just not good. It's just not. I mean,
they have revamped it.
I'm just saying, it's just, no matter what, it always comes back to it is theme park food that you're getting there.
You know, the point that I think you're making is, if you let's leave the Disney bubble for a second and just talk about the rest of the real world. All of us know places where there have been 35 restaurants in this particular location and every single one of them has failed. They've been under new management, they've been under new ownership. For whatever reason, that location is cursed. You're never going to get the concept there. And I think that's how I feel a little bit about Pecos Bill. Until they just wipe it out and do something completely different, I don't know that I have confidence. Having said that, I'm on the app right now, and I'm looking at, okay, I'm going to build my own rice bowl. Okay. Okay, here's your options, okay? So the rice bowl, the basic description, pinto beans, I'm out of that. Cilantro, lime rice, cowboy caviar, that sounds weird, and wow. Queso fresco. And I live in the South, okay? But, okay, so the first thing you do is you choose a quantity, which I think is a little goofy if you're building your own, like we're going to build more of the exact same, but that's fine. But that's first thing you do. Next thing, you select your protein. Here's your choices. Citrus chipotle chicken.
That sounds good.
Okay, this already sounds like something they've never had in this location before, like not even remotely close. Okay, green chili pork. Sounds less good. Or for 50 cents more, so this entree is normally $12.99, but for 50 cents more, you could get Coca-Cola cherry braised beef.
That sounds good to me.
Wait a sec. What's going on here? Okay, next. Next. Add a protein. Oh, wait a sec. You don't have to just pick one. If you like both the citrus chipotle chicken
and the
Coca-Cola cherry braised beef, have them both. There's an additional charge to do that, but you can do it. And then you get to add a side, right? Which is also an additional cost. So to me, I'm you're $12.99. You're never going to pay $12.99. I think, right? Because your side choices are queso, chipotle, guacamole. why are we charging $250 extra for guacamole? I don't know. That better be cruise ship quality, in my opinion. Right?
Okay, so the video
review. And then queso and guacamole is another $350. But that's how you build your own bowl, and then you'll get your beans, which you can take them off, and you get your cowboy caviar, which you also have the option to take it off. So you do get to fully customize what you want. I don't know. I'll just say I'm intrigued.
You said you're in. Okay.
I'm intrigued.
So I will say the guacamole is the prepackaged stuff. So I'm out automatically on the guacamole.
$250 for that?
Yeah, it's prepackaged. You rip the lid off and you have this guacamole. I'm totally out on the guacamole. You only can have fresh guacamole. We know that.
Yes.
Yeah. You have to have it freshly made. But guys, so based on this new menu, what Randy just read, the reviews that are coming out, that it's actually a much better upgrade to what they had before, guys, I'm going to say that I am in on the new Pecos Bill menu.
And here's the thing for all of these entrees, right? So the tamale, the nacho bowl, the Caesar salad, the rice bowl, really, they're all for the exact same entree. You're changing your base. Your base, yeah. Which I'm like, well, why didn't you just make one option and we just customize that too? But your base is either going to be rice, salad, chips, or the tamale, okay? What it reminds me of is it reminds me of my favorite quick service place, which is Satuli Canteen, right? And it's a similar concept. You get to choose your base, and then they put the stuff on, and it's one of the most delicious bowls I've ever had in my life.
100% agree.
Go out of my way for it. So I am definitely intrigued. They may have just frankly done themselves a disservice by continuing to allow the place to be called Pecos Bill's Tall Tales Cafe.
And maybe that's it. I guess that's the challenge that I have with Pecos Bill and some of these other quick service places that we've, you know, kind of, pardon the expression, poo-pooed on, right? Like, don't give them the love. Is I just don't understand the inconsistency throughout the parks, right? So you have like Santuli Canteen, which offers great menu options, good tasting food. You know, even across the way, you have Flame Tree Barbecue, great options, great food. And you can go, you know, you can go to Pecos Bill and not get a great option. You can go to
Pinocchio House
and not get a great option. And so
I think Pinocchio House is the new worst.
I just wish that there was a little bit more consistency across the board when it comes to some of these dining options.
Listen, and again, we haven't tasted this yet. This menu literally came out just recently.
Yeah.
I think you have
and my annual pass literally expired yesterday.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, until I'm going next, it doesn't make sense to renew it yet.
Sure. Right?
I'm going to renew it. But
of course.
This makes me want to. Look, I just even look at the next one, the double chili con queso burger, right?
Oh, that sounds like indigestion to me.
Two flame broiled all beef patties topped with chili con carne, chipotle queso, and Fritos. They just call them corn chips, but it's Fritos. I'm like, man, it's a Frito burrito on a burger. I am in, right? And then you get to choose your side between barbecue cheddar seasoned fries. It's not just ordinary fries, like something with some flavor, or you can have something nasty like beans, or or also even then cilantro lime rice. Look, I think this
they're
is
trying.
This is an admirable attempt so far to do it.
I agree.
I look forward to going. Let's find a date and do it soon so we can come back and report on how well it works.
All right.
So are you? So I'm in. Randy sounds like he's in. Deck.
I'm still an out. I'm out on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that is your opinion.
That is my opinion.
Okay. We'll need to revisit this topic when we try it.
Yeah. Trying it might help.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about, again, the video review I saw, these two guys said the desserts were the best part of the whole meal.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. They had a cream, a sweet corn mousse, which...
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And then some vanilla chocolate horchata.
Yeah, Mexican chocolate and horchata verine.
Yeah. So anyway, all right.
Well, I kind of mixed that with Spanish and Italian all at once. But
okay, number two. And listen, I'm just going to toot my own horn for a second. So a few months ago, I predicted this, that Tron would go to a standby.
Yeah, I'm out. 100% out.
He doesn't even want to hear the rest.
I know. I'm like, okay. They got rid of the virtual queue.
I read that and I
threw your phone.
I literally did, and I walked away. I was at work. I chucked my phone on the desk and I walked away. I said, "You've got to be kidding me."
Everyone around you was like, "Oh,
yeah. What happened? Mr. What happened? Is there a major problem? Did we have a water main break or something?" I'm like, "No, they took away the virtual queue at Tron."
Okay, so let me give you some stats here. So they took away the virtual queue, and originally, at the very beginning when this happened, you were seeing wait times north of 100 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So over the past couple of days, I've been tracking. I pulled up the app a few times, actually, to be honest, 8 times. I noted the wait time. So got an average of 57 minutes for standby for Tron. Now, it did top. There was another day that topped. It went over 100 minutes one or two times. The average for that day was about 75. So a couple of different days, a couple of different averages. So that begs the question. Standby queues versus virtual queue. So right now we still have Tiana's is a virtual queue. Guardians is a virtual queue. When Dak and I were in Disneyland, Haunted Mansion was a virtual queue. World of Color was down, but the World of Color 1 show is a virtual queue. So the question is, are you in or are you out with virtual queues?
I'm in with virtual queues.
So you're still in with virtual queues.
I'm firmly in.
Despite the fact that Tron has at least when I was tracking it, under an hour wait time.
What time of year is it? It's September. It's low season. These are some of the lowest crowds we always see all year long. It's in September. I just think it's only going to get worse. Here's what I have preached about virtual queues all along, and this is why ultimately one day they're going to hire me over there, which would be my career retirement dream, right? To retire from the Walt Disney Corporation. We're leaving money on the table when you put people in a line where they can do nothing. You're not buying food. You're not buying merchandise. You're not going off to do something else. You're not creating additional memory. You're just standing in line. And the standby line in Tron, honestly, we talked about the pre-shows in a previous episode, but the standby line in Tron, honestly, I think it's brutal.
Oh,
it's narrow. It's enclosed. Part of it's not even air conditioned at the very beginning. Like it's kind of brutal. I don't like it for that. It just gets super long. And I put that kind of akin to Seven Dwarves Mine Train. Okay. Another super short ride now with a super long line to go with it. And it loses its magic when you do that sort of thing. I also think that there is something kind of magical with virtual queues. You do limit the ability to go on an attraction per your trip, right? For some people, you don't get to get on it. And I don't like that part. I think everyone should be able to ride it. But I just also think that your best chance at allowing everyone to ride it is by not having people who do nothing but ride it.
Yeah.
Right? Like you got to spread those folks out there at the park. And again, that comes back to, it just seems like it's good financial sense. I have to trust that they have some metrics and some data on this and that they're really smart, but some of the decisions they've made over the last few years, which have not paid out financially, tell me that maybe they need smarter people in some of these instances. Virtual queues solve so many problems for you, and they allow you to diversify your crowds to go and do other things in the park that will bring more money in. And if you could bring more money in ways that way, it doesn't require you to keep raising ticket prices. It doesn't require you to keep charging and nickel and diming on everything else. If they're talking about our revenues need to grow, then find ways for people to spend money instead of inventing reasons that people have to spend more money on the same thing.
Agreed.
That's my soapbox.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in on virtual queues, out on Tron becoming a standby line. Just our last experience, you mentioned this, Ryan, at Disneyland. When we got in the line at Haunted Mansion, which is, for right now, a virtual queue, I was like, dude, we're in this line forever. And turns out it flowed very quickly. And I think we were on the attraction within 10 to 15 minutes. It was just...
That's amazing.
It was amazing. And so I just thought, wow, This is the way it's supposed to work, right? Now, of course, Haunted Mansion is an Omnimover, so that helps, right? But we all have been in lines that are Omnimovers that you're not moving. And so...
Peter Pan's flight.
Yeah. And so you're... It's not a cure-all. I think having it as a virtual queue helped. And I think the biggest thing is that when they come out with these new attractions and there's this big hype going on about the attraction, a virtual queue is an absolute necessity so that you don't get these 3, 4, 5 hour wait times that we saw with Flight of Passage and, you know, the Velocicoaster over at Universal. Yeah. Like, it has to happen. And so I, with you, Randy, I don't understand how you take that mindset and eventually say, oh, we're good now. Let's just go to a regular standby queue. I don't understand it. I agree with you. I think I'm all in on the virtual.
And again, you know, one of the things that I do professionally a lot with my teams is I challenge them on the status quo, right? Why are we doing this? Oh, this is the way we've always done it. And they've come to find out that it won't go well if that's ever your response to me, right? I'm not interested in how we've always done it. I feel like when we revert from things which are forward thinking like a virtual queue back to a regular old standby line, we're just going back to what we've always done. We don't have to do that. You know, Disney, you are the leader in innovation when it comes to theme parks, right? Nobody innovates better in the theme park experience than Disney. That's why we do this show, because we love it so much, because we are all in on that part of it. And when you keep going backwards to the stuff that's happened in the past, I just don't get it. Now what happens is, and I'd be really interested to find this part out, Ryan, what's that wait line, what's the standby line look like at the end of the day? Because that's when everyone wants to ride Tron, is at nighttime.
Yeah.
What's it look like then? How much are we leaving out on the table at that point? How many people now are skipping parades and other nighttime attractions because they're over in the far corner of the park at the Tron Pavilion, which is a great place and it's an awesome place at nighttime, but you know, you're not buying cotton candy, you're not buying balloons, you're not on Main Street in the shops and stuff like that. You're in this really long line. I just don't think it's I don't think it's the right way. I would prefer more rides, even existing seasoned lines, go to a virtual queue type system. And I think that you could have elements where, again, they need to find a way that everyone gets to do it. Maybe your standby line is for people who weren't able to get a virtual queue pass and are willing to say, hey, I'll sacrifice my whole day to do this. Okay, that's going to be a handful of people. It's not going to be very many.
Right.
But, you know, or revamp their virtual queue lottery the way it goes, which I never really ever came to understand either. I just think that there's opportunities here and we're missing out and we'll continue to miss out if we just keep going back to the same old thing.
Okay. Well, and the cynical part of you, I'll just wrap up with this thought. The cynical part of you is like, well, if I take away the virtual queue, which is a free option, and I force you to either stand in an hour and a half line or to buy a single rider multipass or a single ride multipass.
Yeah.
Now I'm charging you for something that was previously free, which again, as a diehard Disney fan, it's just one more thing that irks me of like,
yeah,
what are you doing to me? Like, you're either forcing me to stand in a 2 hour line or you're forcing me to pay $20 to ride this ride to make sure that I get on it. So,
yeah. And in fairness, look, I did both. Like, I would every time. That's one of my top rides, just like Guardians Cosmic Rewind. I will pay the individual Lightning Lane price instead of just the I'm going to get in there. But man, I don't like the idea. I really don't like the idea for a ride as short as Tron is to have to stand in a line that long, right? You can almost make the argument that, for instance, when they did this with Rise of the Resistance, remember, Rise of Resistance lines were 3 hours long when they went to the standby. Oh, yeah. Okay. And even many days, they're still 2+, right? 120, 150. You still see that regularly. And that's including with lower park attendance. So that's a scary thought right there in and of itself. That's a lot of churros that are being unsold. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. So out.
Okay. So Dak, no, you're in with virtual queues.
In with virtual queue, out on the
standby line. Standby. Yeah. So just virtual queues in general, we're all in agreement that they're probably a good thing. So, all right, number three here, holiday overlays. So right now, Disneyland's Haunted Mansion has the Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, Disneyland's Guardian of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark through Halloween. We haven't talked about this. Cinderella's Castle has the Dream Lights. They did not do that in 2023. 2022 is the last time they did that.
Oh, I didn't know they're bringing the lights back, huh?
Well, the rumor is maybe. That has not been confirmed yet for 2024. Well,
I like them.
So the question is, are you in or are you out with holiday overlays?
I am 1,000% in on overlays. Yeah. I can see the argument at Disney World. It's a more international park where people are coming that may not understand the Jack Skellington, for example, if you're using Haunted Mansion, may not understand the Jack Skellington overlay like they do at Disneyland. But I think doing that adds so much flavor and extra excitement about an attraction that it just changes the experience. And it doesn't mean that you don't ever get to, well, I guess if you're a one and done or a once a year, you may not be able to experience the regular Haunted Mansion. But I just still think that there's enough Haunted Mansion in the overlays or whatever it is that you still get to experience and have a flavor of that Haunted Mansion experience. So I'm 100% in on any overlay they want to do. I think it just brings excitement.
Yeah, I'm in. I love the overlays. My complaint is I think they last too long sometimes. Mm-hmm. They need to be much more limited. Like when they start Haunted Mansion in like August and it goes to like January, right?
Almost half the year.
Yeah. That is insane to me. I have the same complaints, though, about Halloween and Christmas parties starting so early. I just think that, again, from a financial standpoint, I think, hey, how do I get people to come back more often? Well, to tell you the truth, sometimes if I limit options on the special things, I force them to come at certain times, and then they're going to want to come at another time again later. But if I give them like the whole year to plan this out, they're going to come that one time and maybe be done. Maybe there's good metrics and data on this. Probably they've got some research and stuff, but I don't like Nightmare Before Christmas lasting half a year. Maybe it should just be that last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do they do it? Because it's a huge amount of work, right, to do that. But look, I mean, they transformed the entire park for Christmas overnight from Thanksgiving anyways, so I'm sure that they can probably do it pretty expeditiously. But I'm in on the overlays. I think they're great. I hope they bring the dream lights back. I think it's one of the most magical parts of the castle.
For me, that's it. The dream lights on the castle with that show is pretty special, pretty magical. And they didn't have it last year, which was sad.
What I don't want to see is I don't want to just see the projection mapping the whole time, right? Like, I actually want to see the castle. And I think when you put the dream lights on there, it highlights the castle. It doesn't turn the castle into something different. The projection mappings are awesome. I love them. Again, they should have a more limited, you know, focus time, right? Instead of all nighttime while it's dark. I kind of think that a little bit, to tell you the truth, I feel the same way about Tower of Terror. You know, they put the projection mapping up there and it does some awesome. It's actually a whole show in some instances what they do. The snow comes out on the boulevard there while you're walking up, and it's a whole kind of show. Boy, wouldn't it be better if we did something that just kind of accentuated the actual Tower of Terror in a holiday sort of fashion instead of just the projection mapping? I don't know, but I'm in favor of it no matter what they do. I think it adds a lot of extra magic.
Okay. Are you in favor of them bringing back the birthday cake on the castle?
No.
That's not a holiday.
No. That's an overlay. I'm totally out on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But we're all in on the holiday overlays.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, we have all been to an extra hour event, right? Either a pass holder event or a Christmas party or Halloween party. So Disney announced their after hours events for next year. So not the parties. These are just after hours events, right? Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood. Each park will have about 14 to 20 select nights throughout the year. 3 hours after park closes, early entry 7 p.m. You get free snacks, popcorn, you know, ice cream, drinks. Magic Kingdom after hours pricing.
Here
one,
we go.
$175 to $185. Epcot $155 to $175. Hollywood Studios $155 to $185. Now the benefit of these parties, these after hours events, is that in theory, there's less crowds. And you get to do the rides more often, as many as you want, right? Plus the free food, the snacks, the drinks, the Mickey all-you-can-eat Mickey ice cream bars deck. You know, but again, these are more than the price of a regular ticket. So if you even were to get there at 7 o'clock, you would have from 7 till 3 hours after park closes. So you have about 6 hours.
Yeah, it's basically 7 to midnight.
7 to midnight,
right?
Or 7 to 1 a.m. depending on how it closes. Yeah. So let's say 7 to 1 a.m., so a six-hour night for more than the price of a regular park admission for that day. So are you in or are you out based on the pricing of these after-hour events?
Based on the pricing?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm out for more than just the pricing.
Okay.
So one, as an annual pass holder, I like the themed parties, mm-hmm. like a Christmas party or something like that makes sense. But like just extra park hours, not at that price. I've already paid for my tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those. So first of all, I don't believe for a second that the extra, you know, quote unquote party thing they're doing is going to be better than like a Christmas or a Halloween party. I think it'll be close to, but I don't think it's going to be better than, and I'm not sure it'll be really on par with one of those things.
Which, and honestly, this scares me because they haven't released pricing yet for the parties.
Yeah.
So you're looking at maybe $185 for just a regular old after hours event at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. It's going to be up there.
Yeah.
It's going to be up there, you know, which is so interesting because when Bob Iger came back, his first complaint was, you know, how much we've inflated the price of attending the park in the first place. But we have seen, you guys remember, I predicted, I said, they're not going backwards. It's not going to happen.
Why would they?
I don't care what he's saying. They're not going to roll the prices back. Shareholders will be in absolute revolt. And especially when you continue to face hostile takeovers, like the only way you're going to be able to continue to stave them off is by making shareholders as happy as you can. And for a company that's bleeding money every quarter on their entertainment side of things, it's hard to do that. So it is getting to be very unaffordable.
So here's my take on it. The after hour events, I have had a few that I have gone to that have been absolutely amazing. And what I mean by that is we just happened to catch it on a great night where the crowd levels were
controlled.
And if anything, Disney was probably not, well, I don't know if they don't ever not make money, but what I'm getting at is that their crowd levels were so low that particular night that we went that there was several times during the event that the cast members just asked us, do you just want to stay on, you know, Big Thunder Mountain and just ride again? And we rode it two or three times in a row before enough people had accumulated through the line to where we had to actually get out, but we could just literally just circle back. Same with, you know, several other attractions. You know, again, on the free drinks and the Mickey ice cream bars and the popcorn buckets and everything, all those snacks that you could get, it was great. I mean, again, unlimited. All that to say, I think we paid like $135,
yeah.
$140, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range, to where it was just slightly above your normal day ticket price. It made sense, the hour per hour breakdown, plus you figure in the snacks and the cost of what those are. At $5-6 a piece, right? I think at $185, you know, some of these Halloween parties and Christmas parties that we're talking about getting up close to $200 or over $200, to me, the price has started to outweigh what the experience is giving me, which is unfortunate because, you know, this is a totally different topic, but one of the byproducts of these types of events is if you have someone within your family group that maybe struggles with super high crowd levels, these are great options to take somebody to a Disney park without them being overwhelmed with, you know, crowds and so forth. And just, again, the overall experience, it was great. If you had kids that could stay up till midnight or one and you could get in, you know, 20 rides in an evening without paying for Lightning Lane or any of these other expenses that you do during the day, they were great. But I just think Disney is getting to the point where they're charging a little bit more than I want to pay. You know, as a family of five, I don't want to pay $1,000 for one night.
Well, and that's kind of the interesting thing, right? Again, just from an inflationary perspective, you think about that. That extra $50, because I remember when they were like $135 nights. Now you're talking $185, not $50, right? That means for my family of six, I'm actually bringing two fewer people for the same amount of money than I used to pay. Now, I get the prices are going to go up, but we're talking two whole tickets is the difference in that price now. That's, it just becomes, and don't forget, you're still having to do the other stuff. I mean, you still got to think about the paid stuff that you're going to go through in addition to that. And if you're going to be there during the daytime hours as well, so you're buying two park tickets for that day, think about someone who's traveling in, right? Are you only going to come for that evening time? No, you're going to be there during the day too. You're going to have your 5-day park hopper pass, and that's going to be included in one of those days. And during the course of that, you're going to pay for, you know, Lightning Lane multi-pass. My goodness gracious, it's become a lot. I've complained about the universal pricing model before. Basically, you're buying two tickets if you're going to buy admission and you're going to buy their ultimate max pass or whatever they call it, right? It is literally the cost of two tickets to do that. But the benefit to that is you get to do whatever you want an unlimited number of times. So you get to skip those lines, and generally you get to skip them by a lot, not just a little. And they price it high enough to be able to intentionally limit the amount of people that are going to participate. Problem is, I don't think Disney has done as good a job on that control model, right? You price it so high, and then you get in there, and there's still a billion people, and you're like, what did I get for this? I just paid a premium, and I didn't experience that. And I think, Dak, you were alluding to that. You've had some experiences where they've been great. We've also had some experiences where been terrible.
Yeah,
where, honestly, I walked away, and I was a little angry. I was like, I can't believe that they've ruined this party, because that's how it felt like. We used to have a great experience. Now they've ruined it by they let so many people in here and they charge so much money and the quality of the stuff went down and the availability of the attractions wasn't as high. It was a disservice to us. And I think they've done a decent job in course correcting there. But when I hear this new plan going forward, the greed tells me the greed's taking over again, and I worry about quality slipping back to what it was.
Okay, so Randy's out. Dak.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you put my feet to the fire on a regular Disney trip, I'm out. If I happen to be going through Orlando with my family, not going to Disney, which I can't even imagine that scenario taking place. But if we happen to be in Orlando, like let's say maybe here's the scenario. We're going on a cruise. The night we come in, there happens to be one of these after hour events. I would seriously consider splurging and maybe doing an after hours event if I knew I was only going to get to do the parks one night and then we're off to our cruise. Mm-hmm. Other than that, on a day to day, I'm out. Like, it's just, they've priced me out of that experience for what I get for it.
Yeah, I'm priced out too at $185 for a Magic Kingdom after hours. So yeah, make it cheaper. It's a different conversation. Okay. All right. A couple more here. So on September 21st, Epcot AP reservations booked out. There were none left. Why was that? Because on that day, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, played September
the entire day.
The entire time.
Yeah.
So here's my question. Are you in or are you out with that ride going to just one song all the time? Like I've done that ride twice.
Like all the time permanently?
Permanently.
Oh, no, I'm out.
I've done that ride twice. And both times, I did not like the song. Well, I think we got Disco Inferno once or twice.
Yeah, Disco Inferno, I think, is one of the weaker ones. Yeah. No, I'm out. You know, everybody wants to rule the world is really the song I think that you want. Oh, sorry, I just bit my tongue talking.
Ooh.
Wow, that was weird. No, here's, you know, at Christmas time, we go back to holiday overlays, right? There's special during, you know, they have additional tracks that they go in and do. I think they need more songs to incorporate into that, not less. I absolutely would not go to just one. And September, by the way, is a great song. Not my favorite one on that ride either.
And I'm curious why this song was chosen for that day. All day long, just one song. Was that customer demand?
No,
customer
feedback, what was going on?
Was there a reason behind that?
I think it's the lyrics.
Just that it's about September?
Yeah. I think it's about the 21st of September.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Pretty sure.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm going to look this up and fact check myself right now.
So here's my argument with that real quick.
Or I can ask ABC moderators to fact check me. But
I'm out on it just because for the same reason why I don't want to see the same Soarin' video every time. If there's a possibility for you to seamlessly give me more ride experiences like you do on Star Tours, like you do on some of these other ride experiences that have this interchangeable media to it, I want it, right? Like that's what makes the attraction fresh and feel new every time is like, oh, what adventure are we going to go on, right? If you're getting on Star Tours, what ride experience are you going to get that time on Star Tours? Who's going to be the spy, right? Like, it's just something that keeps the ride fresh. And so I think if you have an attraction that you've already shown us you can do this on, don't limit us to one song or one, you know, ride experience.
Yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire, of course, is the band that sings September, right? You know, first two lines of the song, do you remember the 21st night of September, right?
Okay.
So that's why.
It just made me think of, because like I said, I've done that ride twice, both times, Disco Inferno, not my favorite song at all. If I knew...
Yeah, that, Disco Inferno, Conga, if you got rid of those two, like I wouldn't cry over losing those two songs. I do love Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I think it fits really, really well there. I remember the first time that actually, I think my son Will and I were riding that together and we got it and we both got off. We was like, dude, you know, and we'd been on the attraction many times before, but the first time we got that song got off, it was a different vibe and different energy.
Totally.
And that's why I think that, you know, more songs, there's others out there that you can do. One of the coolest roller coasters ever is at Universal. It's the Rip Ride Rocket, where you get to pick your song, right? Each individual rider gets to pick the song that they're listening to. By the way, there's a secret menu. I don't know if you know about this, but do your own sleuthing on how you can access the secret menu of additional songs. But I try and pick a different song almost every time because you get a different experience that way.
Okay. Isn't that ride going away? Did I hear that?
I don't know. I'm not a Universal expert.
Yeah. Okay. This is Escape to the Magic.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Dick. Okay. All right. Let's just do...
Not Escape to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
All right. We're up against it. Let's just do two quick rapid fire. Okay. Randy, I know you're going to have a big opinion on this.
Here we go.
Tron Ares is coming out without Daft Punk. Are you in or are you out with Nine Inch Nails doing the soundtrack?
Yeah, I'm in.
Are you really?
Really?
So look, you guys may not even know this about me. I think Trent Reznor is one of the most brilliant musicians that has ever walked the planet for his genre, right? Yeah. But overall, he's just an incredible musician. I am a metalhead. I love Nine Inch Nails growing up.
Okay.
And so I've complained about it before. I'm like, guys, we got to get Daft Punk back together. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Certainly not in time for the movie. And so if I couldn't have Daft Punk, who would I want to have? Dude, Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails, that could work. That absolutely could work, right? Okay. So,
not the answer I was expecting.
Yeah, no, I love it. Absolutely love it. I tell you the truth, I really can't think of anybody else maybe I would want to do it, right? Maybe I just really can't to try and continue the melodic genius of Tron Legacy.
I'm out only because I think Daft Punk did such an amazing job with Tron Legacy that I can't imagine anything else in that world.
It's going to be different
in that digital realm.
It's that, well, and so that's the thing. Don't forget. So Tron Ares is not about the digital world. It's about the digital world coming into the real world.
That's true.
From what we've been able to know, we don't know a whole lot about it. Really, they've been very hush hush about the synopsis. I'm excited. My excitement is tempered by the fact that it's basically a completely new cast sort of thing, right? Like, I wanted to really continue more of the Tron Legacy story. Of course, they're like a decade late in trying to do that in a way that makes sense. So maybe this is what's happening. But I think Jared Leto is going to, he could do a great job, right? You know, in things that he's been in the past. It's an intriguing selection there. But I think that when you talk about bringing the digital into the real world, Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails, that makes a lot of sense to me. I get it.
Okay, Deck.
I guess I'm in. I don't know enough about. I'm shocked. Just given, you know, I grew up in a conservative home, and so Nine Inch Nails was not on the playlist.
I wasn't allowed to listen to it.
Yeah. So I'm a little surprised by that selection, but yeah. I mean it. Like you alluded to, Ryan, I think it would be hard to replicate what, you know, Daft Punk did. So it'll be interesting. So sure, I'm in. I'm in until I'm told otherwise.
And not to, this will maybe get just slightly weird for a second, right? You know, look, you're not going to find the typical lyrics that I think you found, especially in some of the early Nine Inch Nails stuff. Like, this is still a Disney movie, right?
100%.
Okay, you're going to get that. What you have to, and what most people may not realize, it really is Trent Reznor's musicality, his ability, his genius to put together beats, sounds, non-traditional music and instruments. But even the adaptation, I don't know, you know, early on in one of their albums, they had a hit song. It was called Hurt. Later on, before he died, Johnny Cash did a cover of it, right? Mm-hmm. In collaboration with Trent Reznor. There's a video that goes with it and everything. And it was in the twilight years of Johnny Cash's life. Like, he died pretty shortly thereafter. But if you know about Johnny Cash's life, and the cool thing about the video is there's a lot of video from his life, right? It's like home video shots and stuff like that and everything. So if you know a lot about his life, it kind of hits you in a certain spot. And that collaboration tells me that's part of what gives you the genius, I think, of Trent Reznor's ability to musically put something together. Because Johnny Cash, Nine Inch Nails, very different styles. But take a Nine Inch Nails song and have Johnny Cash cover it the way he did it. Honestly, it's emotionally moving. Like, I'm serious. Go watch it later. I'd be curious to know if you get just a little bit of feels watching the video and say, whoa. That was something else.
Okay. Well, Randy, because of what you, I'm going to change my, I will be in.
Sold.
On Nine Inch Nails. I'm going to trust your you know, what you're saying here.
Yeah. And if they screw it up, then I'm going to blame someone else.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that.
Well, I didn't make that pick.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few more here, but we're out of time. So we'll save those for another.
Sure.
Hey, this was a ton of fun.
Another show. Yeah.
This was definitely a game.
Yeah. I liked this.
And I did win.
I like this. Yeah,
you did, because you convinced me to change my vote.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I think maybe convinced Dak to pick something he wasn't sure about.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Actually, the listeners are the real winners.
There you go.
Lots of fun, guys. This is a great episode. Always good to be together.
Yeah. Give us a like and a follow on all of our social media accounts. Let us know what your thoughts are. Are you in or are you out? Right. On some of these topics. And, thanks for listening in.
Until next time.
Bye.